me the heart of the mind and of our way of doing things, our behavior, our standards. Keep them, fellows. We have them.
I'll tell you all about it.
The longer you live, and the more you think of your years of Swago, the more the word condition of Swago is going to mean to you. And it's going to be something that you think about, something that's worthwhile. Something that's fine, fine.
Like submarines, got periscopes, like Ollie does. The rope-a-dope, I think your bad breath lady needs a bottle of scope, yo. We got to kick it.
It's like Norman Mailer needs an envelope. Like fat ass mama needs some cantaloupe. Like Walter White needs an isotope.
We need to kick it. Like the NSA, yeah. Likes to interlope, like Billy Crystal, like the guys on soap, like the mayor of San Diego, who likes to grope, yo, we like to kick it, on the
like Nancy Reagan, likes a horoscope, like Galileo, like a telescope, like Mrs. Willenda, likes my thick, tight rope,
we like to kick it. Like your pregnant little sister who's got to elope, yeah. Like your boy Buster Keaton needs a skinoscope, like Dr. Mark Swelby needs a stethoscope. We need to kick it.
It's like the Cardinals, like to meet the Pope, yeah. And like the Democrats, like to vote for hope,
uh-huh.
Like cancers rock the Torah trope.
Whoa. We like to kick it on the ski slope.
Welcome.
Welcome back.
This is a special double dip ski slope World Cup. World Cup, right?
Yeah, FIFA, World Cup. Football Cup.
You know the score by now, but in case you want to...
It's tied right now between Belgium and the U.S. of A.
Yes.
And we're watching it here on our next and newest episode of the Ski Slope. It's good to be back, Moya.
It is.
It is a little distracting, though, because I do want to watch the game.
I know.
As much as I love to talk to our people.
And it's a fine line. Like, do we watch the game and not entertain our loyal listeners? Or maybe we entertain our loyal listeners by watching the game and forgetting that we're not entertaining
fine.
Them
let's
and
just,
hence
let's,
entertain
let's
them.
Let's just roll. We have got a great guest tonight. Ricky Friedman is going to be with us on the Ski Slope.
Who doesn't love Ricky? Who's like, Ricky Friedman's a dick? I don't
we have
like
a shot.
Him.
Oh, sorry. Oh, sorry. No, I love you, Ricky.
You know what? I think Ricky's reputation is greater than FIFA, but yet...
I think Ricky is iconic in a lot of ways. He actually spans, like, he's the person one generation above us.
Yeah.
That spans to the next group. He's... And I immediately associate him with Peter Geller. Do you as well?
I do, but like later on. And the thing about Ricky, too, I don't think Ricky was the type of guy that started as a frosh. And, you know, was there for 12 years. I think, you know, he was there for a while, but I don't think he was there forever.
I don't know. I don't,
right.
I
so
don't feel like he was there forever, but
I can't imagine there was a more popular and popular
right,
being defined
right.
as how much do you like this person on a scale of 1 to 10. Like
right.
nobody would have gotten a higher score on average. Than
solid Ricky. Citizen it, through and
the best.
Through. Yeah. Yeah. And like a good athlete.
Good athlete.
Good person. Funny. Mm-hmm. Really good guy. You know, I don't know if we're going to get into it with him, but he's a doctor. And he works in the birthing. He runs, I think, the floor at the hospital where my son was born, Mount Sinai. Mm-hmm. His ex-wife delivered Burke, which is an interesting connection.
Sure.
And we spent the labor period of labor for my ex-wife was spent discussing Ricky Camp, etc., with his ex-wife while Burke was being born. So that's kind of funny, right?
Well, how much did she know? Was she able to keep
she
the conversation
didn't know. We
going?
Didn't connect the dots until I walked into the... So Burke, you know, we it was an induced labor.
Mm-hmm.
So we checked in. I'm watching the football. I'm not even calling it soccer anymore. The
it's
football.
Under, this is under 16 soccer.
Yeah.
It's swag over... Who else was a good soccer
oh,
camp?
Oh. That's not going to be a penalty, no? Okay, so...
Up there goes the owl.
We're in the delivery room in the you know the room where
in case you want to sync up with us, it's the 75-36 mark, so you can it's like Pink Floyd and the Wizard of Oz.
And I learned that her doctor's name was I knew her doctor's name was Dr. Friedman. I walked down the hall and I see Ricky Friedman standing there. I'm like, Ricky, I forgot you worked here. He's like, who's your doctor? I said, Dr. Friedman. He goes, you mean my wife? And so there, you know, from there
it's
it
like
became
a Henny
like
Youngman routine.
Yeah, it was funny. And you know, I think did Michael Horowitz work for him?
Michael Horowitz did, I think, at one point.
So that's an interesting connection, and I have a feeling, given that this is a hospital on the Upper East Side of Manhattan, that quite a few Swago births came through his way, which is pretty freaking cool, no?
There's weird things that happen in life that are almost like if life was a novel, this would be this minor symbolism stuff going on, and one of them is like, there's this guy, Glenn Gilbert, great guy in my town,
okay,
president of my temple, went to Swago.
Okay.
Unbeknownst to me, never met him before. Then there's this other older guy who I met 4 or 5 years ago, great guy, and this guy's like 15, 20 years older than I am, but met him in yoga, and, you know, just carried on great, you know, developed a friendship, and found out after the fact that he had gone to Swago. This guy, Alan Abramson, and I had gone
That's
to
cool.
too, right? And then the whole Ricky thing, like, yeah, my kids, Zachary, too, I think. It was either Zachary or Kendall. I'm pretty sure it was Zachary, like, is in the midst of being born. And here's Ricky. Like, Ricky just appears in the physical space of where this great event is happening. And it's like, oh, that
Zachary
little bit of
Zachary was born at the same hospital
yeah,
as Burke?
Yeah, Mount Sinai.
Fifth?
Yeah, the Klingenstein
awesome.
Center, baby.
All right, we're fist bumping there.
There we go.
Yeah, that's awesome.
No, and right? So how great is that little flavor
you say, yeah, that
of
was amazing,
while
right?
your kids are being born? It's like, oh, thank you.
Unbelievable. Yeah. So it's still 0-0. We're not going to give you that.
Well, yeah, you guys probably know better than we do what happens in this game.
Look, we won the championship, assholes.
Right. Listen to them, man. They're not even in the quarters yet.
Actually, you got to figure most people are going to listen. The listeners will happen before we play the next game, being positive here, right?
Our hardcore listeners. The hardcore listeners will, I'm sure.
Well, which is 80% of the listeners happened in the first 4 or 5 days.
I think so.
Hey, did I tell you this? That I am, this is serious. Well, not serious, but I will be boxing a 3-round boxing
is
match.
Is it coming up, this charity thing that you mentioned 6 months ago?
Yes.
All right, cool.
I signed up for this thing called Haymakers for Hope.
That's it.
And it is a charity event for cancer. And you can pick the cancer, the particular type of cancer or charity that you want to donate
which
to.
Which cancer are you doing?
So my partner, Brandon Heagle, who you know, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
Great man. I like it.
Question.
Brandon's a good guy.
Brandon's an awesome guy, and he just battled Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Did he?
You didn't know this?
What is just?
He just finished his last chemotherapy and has beaten it. And so for me to have
no
that,
idea.
You didn't know that, huh? 7 months ago. He comes in, he's losing his voice. He doesn't know what's going on. And he goes in and it ends up there's something, a growth on his nodes. And he has a site about it, so I'm comfortable to talk about it because he's very open about it.
He's public about it, sure.
He's public about it. And it was diagnosed as Hodgkin's lymphoma. Oh, what a save. Sorry. It's not even cool to be talking about this and like caring about the football. And he was, honestly, I have to tell you, I mean, and I'm sure you'll see this, you'll be at the boxing event.
Of course.
He was inspirational to me in just
how he handled
the strength and how he handled it. We're all going to face adversity in our lives.
Point. How do you rise to that occasion?
Exactly. And so having that as a focal point, as well as the fact that you know I love boxing, and here's an opportunity for me to go in against somebody in relatively in my age range, in my weight class, heavyweight, and go for three two-minute rounds, which makes me happy. And it's all for charity. And trust me, anyone
they wanted to do the 7:50.
It's November 6th. Save the date. Anyone who's listening
What's
to this.
What's the day? Give
November
that out
6th. It's a Thursday at Best Buy Theater, a big fucking
all right,
stadium,
Swago,
baby.
Swago. Let's come out for the Duke,
hey,
man.
Hey, Duke's going to be there.
Charlie
and,
Chip cans.
Trust me, we don't have to
rocks.
Go too hard now because you're all going to see. I'm not a big promoter on Facebook, you know, about my own personal stuff.
But this is well-deserving of it. What better thing to do, you know?
This I will be, you will see it appear in the Swago and Swatona section or whatever you call it on Facebook. Uh-oh.
So Brandon's all good?
He's all good. He finished his last chemo and he's,
No radiation with that, right? It's all chemo?
I don't think there was radiation.
Okay.
He never mentioned that term, chemotherapy, which is, you know, it's poison going into you.
Yeah,
that's
he's
what
a good man.
Is.
I've always, honestly, I've
he
always gotten a very
he's
good
a great
vibe.
Person. A great partner, forgetting the business side, which he's amazing. He's just an incredible human. Yeah, he's an incredible human being. It's that simple.
He seems like a stand-up guy. Like
stand
just
up
very,
as they
like,
come.
You know?
I love Brandon. He's a great guy.
You know who he reminds me of? For those that don't know Brandon, picture you ever see the Property Brothers? on like HGTV, like they
No, I don't know that.
All right. They look a little bit like Brandon.
I'll tell you, he looks like Christopher Reeves a little. He's kind of Superman looking. He's in great shape.
Yeah, he's a good looking dude.
He's
man.
A very good looking
guy.
Chiseled
face.
He's a handsome guy and nice head of hair, you know.
Right.
When I met him, we used to go down to like they used to call him Superman. Like they would go down to the local
he's
like
he's got the little curly cue in his hair.
Yeah, no, he was so anyway. So that I'm doing that. I'll be promoting right. that. That's November 6th.
Duke fighting for Superman who has Thursday. Hoskins, and now it's cool.
So just so you all know, and you're hearing it here first, I'm gonna fucking knock the guy down.
Oh, shit. Cancer or no cancer.
He can listen if he wants to our podcast and know that
do
I'm
we know? You don't I'm know gonna who you're fighting.
I'll know in about a month.
Really?
I'm gonna take him down with a left hook.
What if this guy like went to Tyler Hill? Like how much more motivated would you be?
So, you know, I'm certainly, so I've been thinking about the pomp and pomp that I'm going to bring to this event.
And circumstance.
Is that how you say it? Pomp and circumstance?
I've never heard pomp without and circumstance.
The pomposity. And
now you're Don Kinging it.
You know, I have to, so Duke's my nickname, and I'm certainly going to go with that. And green and white are going to be my colors.
You need a robe, man?
I don't know.
Get a robe.
I don't know.
Get the green and white robe.
Like, you know, look, this is for charity. So I'm going to be promoting
it. Do it up, man.
Hard.
Swago. We should come out hard for Alan and just make it like a Swago sporting event.
I'm expecting you all to be there. And if you can donate a dollar or whatever you can donate, that would be awesome. But it's at Best Buy
now,
Theater.
Now you're pushing it. Now you're pushing it.
Look at this guy. I've never been
one
to push.
It always comes down to the money.
It does, you know. So this is at Best Buy Theater on 41st and Broadway. It's a little known theater, but I think it's a couple thousand people.
Oh, the Best Buy?
The Best Buy Theater.
Oh, I love the Best Buy.
I think it used to be the PC Richard Theater.
I bet you 100 years from now, it's not the Best Buy Theater anymore.
It wasn't even the Best Buy Theater like a few years
Best
ago.
I went to the Circuit City Center the other day.
And there's no doubt that Best Buy is not going to be around.
No.
When our kids are.
No. 100 years
in 10 years from now, it's going to have issues in 10 years. So, we're in 82nd minute. So, you know.
So November 6th?
November 6th. It's 8th or 6th, whatever is the Thursday. I'll be sending a save the date out, promoting.
We'll have a few casts before then. Maybe we'll do a special, like, you know, barnstorming thing. We talked about doing that then. But it would be great, man, just to get the whole Swago energy out there and the Chal chips cans with the rocks in them.
Duke
Pearl.
I am hoping.
Fight, white, fight.
There's a major turnout.
Fight a black guy, it'll be difficult to do that chant, though. We'll do a little go, green, go, maybe.
Oh, man. You're going to have to avoid some of those. No,
everyone, go green, man.
Yeah. I have a feeling I'm fighting someone who's in my industry, which will add another bit of intrigue.
The digital heavyweight championship of the world.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool. So you know what else? It's going to – and you know, you'll see me over the next 4 months.
Transform.
My hope is that I become – you know, we were talking about the soccer players being in like – I mean, the shape these guys are in is
crazy.
Unbelievable.
I had no idea. I guess I did, but I forgot maybe how big the field is. Like, this is like – how many football fields is this? Like three?
I'm sure we can look this up to learn this, but I can't imagine the distance these guys have to run throughout a – throughout a
US
whole match.
Save,
we just saved. It's still 0-0, 84-13. So I can't. The shape these guys are in must be just. It's just unbelievable.
Be.
It's so impressive. I think these guys are. We were discussing earlier, they're probably the best athletes in the world.
Well, at Swago, soccer was the cardiovascular wise, soccer was the hardest game
to
play.
Which is why I was goalie.
But you were also first base.
Yeah, you get it?
Yeah, baseball.
Seeing the
baseball
pattern here?
Weird. Yeah, no. But basketball,
uh-oh, head out of bounds.
Okay. These guys with their heads. I mean, I always thought the head was like randomly would hit your head. Like maybe. It was like, oh, it hit his head. Like it was a funny thing. These guys, it's like.
I find their ability to dive at the ball and hit it with their head to be just such a skill that's so impressive. Look at that. You see that? Like, oh my God. The guy with the big. Fro from Belgium. Whoa. So,
you got to bring Paul Allen in, man.
You know, we were commenting earlier that, like, first of all, every team the U.S. has played, we are scrappy, we're doing what we do, but the skill level on the other players
Listen,
is just.
I told Allen, I said, I watched the Germany game, and, like, I don't know if they keep, like, a time of possession statistic, but my God almighty.
Oh, see that? Look at that. Give and go.
They clearly did.
Oh, good poke.
Us.
That's what we get away.
Yeah,
a little bit of that.
Yeah,
you know?
But
we clear
on.
The ball well.
We're not as good as these other teams.
We're not as good as these
I mean,
other
maybe
teams.
We win the World Cup here, and, like, I'm why you're a schmuck, but we're not as good as these other teams.
I would love for it to be back in the U.S. again. It's not going to be the next two of them. I already looked it up. It's in, like, It's in weird. It's in that weird.
Well, what
places,
do you think? If we actually won this thing, let's say we won this year, do you think that would crazily raise soccer's?
Well, no, because the thing is, this
platform.
Is exciting.
I don't think it would.
This is exciting to me. I have still have zero interest in going to see a Major League Soccer event.
I know.
Right? That's not interesting to me. This the world stage, the intensity of this, and the commonality of this is much bigger than any other sport ever.
But then
right?
It's a catch-22, because if all these other countries are like, yeah, they're super pumped up for this, but they also have their league play that they're into.
I know a lot of people that appreciate those leagues play. I don't care about it at all. This to me is, I'm not,
yeah, no, exactly.
I get
but
why they like it.
My feeling is like, then we're never going to be as good as the other countries, because they're... feeling about the game, their intensity, the way that the players are raised to play the game is going to be different than ours.
And you know what? Basketball, basketball, I think, is becoming the second sport of this.
I agree with you.
Of that, and where the obviously
and it's
the
so
dominant,
international,
right?
Like in Asia, mm-hmm. in Europe, in South America, it's everywhere basketball. Basketball has the potential to be the biggest game in the world.
I think it's going to be equal to soccer.
I don't know. I think there's a bit more Asian thing on basketball than there is on soccer.
Well, Japan was in, you know.
No, Japan plays this, but like China and
Korea,
South.
South Korea was
in.
Yeah,
they're in there. They're there. North Korea too.
There's no
I think,
Chinese
right?
soccer player. Like they don't.
Know,
they're
don't,
not good.
Not,
out of the 64 right? gajillion
can't,
people,
can't
you
get
can't
a
form.
Team. Can't make the knockout round.
Put a squad
round?
That could get
on,
to the
China.
Top 30. Whatever they start with.
Tawanda beat them.
Oh, it's funny watching this. So we had our amazing trip, which we call CT. And I have to say, we just we did spend a little bit of time at Swago, and
that was fun.
The grounds are just amazing, you know. Just it's
we saw a baby deer,
yeah, just lying in the
born deer, like in the grass, which was nice. It was a sign of renewal and rebirth.
it really just brings you back. You know,
you just go there, and that landscape is the same. I mean, when you stand, like the grass is overgrown, sure, but when you stand there and just look out on the lake from that perspective and see Jimmy's Hill and Sultona, like that view is still so
distinct to me.
So distinct, resonates so hard still, you know? It's still such a common
ball
thing.
Out. Sorry, I'm getting a little distracted
How
here.
How dare you? I'm talking Jimmy's Hill, and you're talking about an out of bounds place.
You guys were talking about, I always felt like there was like this distinction. Like I always felt like the premier place to leave for Swago
was Green Acres.
Was Green Acres. And oh, we were over at Jersey at the Alexanders.
We were at the Alexanders too. Where'd you leave from in Jersey? Where was the spot?
It was, I think it was this, like the Alexanders on, like it was in northern Jersey.
Did Swago
Jersey,
have
like
a thing with Alexanders? Like,
maybe I'm wrong. It's like where the Paramus Park Mall, right near where that was.
It was Paramus?
Yeah, so you had your whole North Jersey crew going from there. Oh, we're getting close. No, nothing.
That wasn't that big. Well, I guess Jersey was pretty big, right?
It was a decent
you,
size.
Linsky.
Cotillion.
Who else was there? Schaefer's?
What was his name?
nobody.
His
nobody
name who died. Sorry. That's
Rosengart.
Yeah, they were okay. from there. And oh, did they just score?
No.
Oh, I'm turning away, talking to Howie.
Long Island clearly was the
yeah,
it
was the preeminent
major source of Swago's income and Sultona's income too.
I have some
and
news
Green
for everybody.
And Green Acres to me, like the reason why Green Acres I think was so important was because all Green Acres was to me was the place to go to Swago and come home from Swago, mostly go to Swago because it's when you're excited. I never shopped there. I never went to Sunrise Highway from Roslyn to hang out at the Green Acres Mall.
Right. That was just the dispatch point.
That was the only purpose in my life.
Did I tell you the very interesting fact about my career steal stat?
Your what? Your career steal stat?
I learned from Adam Patton. Thank you, Adam.
Oh, this is like Division III B-ball?
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
Well, you know, it's
well, I'm
going to
love
it's
this.
Funny.
What is it?
So Adam Patton, my roommate, a friend of mine from
love
college,
Adam.
Sends
well,
me.
Really do. I had a great time with Adam
we,
that one
yeah,
night.
Yeah, that was a fantastic little weekend we had there.
Sprinting in the snow.
Let's leave it at that sophomore year of college. And Adam sends me a message that says, I found this. I thought you'd find it interesting. And it's the top steals career leaders at Brandeis University.
Really?
And yours truly is number 30.
Number what? 30?
3-0, baby.
Oh, wow. Listen to you. First of all, I'm surprised the depth of that statistic goes to 30.
That's why I'm bringing this up. Okay. Like, I find it hysterical that they...
They didn't stop at 15?
That they didn't stop at 5. And the number one guy had 268, and he played during my time, Stanhouse. And I had...
I remember Stanhouse.
I had 68, which was one a game. Which
that's
is
pretty good, man.
You know, that's what I said. Good. That is pretty good. So I did learn that. I thought you might
that's
find
cool,
that humorous.
Man. How did Adam
slash
find that? How,
funny.
How did Adam find out? That's well,
you know,
like where did, there's a source somewhere like where that is listed.
He actually sent me the top 30, and it made me think, shit. If somebody gets the more than me, I'm off the list.
What was your number? Do you remember compared to Stanhouse's to something?
68. I was 68, which is one a game.
Okay,
because I played like six. I played okay. half of sophomore year. Junior and senior year,
right?
As you know, Stan played 4 years.
Who was the guy on your team that was like 5'7" with slam Malucci or something like that?
Salucci. We had a guy named Paul Salucci, funny guy too. He was a good guy. He was maybe 5'9", maybe 5'10". Had legs, thighs the size of I'm talking redwood tree jumps. These were huge, and he could run. It had to be a running jump. It was not a standing jump.
No.
But he could run from just half court. It didn't have to be from so far out. And go off of 1 foot. That was his jump. And I'm telling you, the guy could put his eyeballs on the rim.
Oh! We almost scored at the 92-02.
Plus three of this. Oh, we almost won this game right there.
That would be
we
crazy.
We almost won it. If we don't win, that was the moment.
That's it. We're calling it out, USA.
Look at this. We're just... So he could dunk and dunk with... You know, he had theatrical dunks too, but he was great. Paul Salucci. My.
What's he up to now, man? Is he playing in the NBA still?
You know, I actually did... See, for some reason, he came up. You know, LinkedIn, like, has this...
LinkedIn's fucked up,
weird
man.
How
what
shit
I,
comes
I don't
up.
Know what the fuck to do with
it's
LinkedIn.
Like, what? My therapist?
Do you know these people? Like, what? Because they've looked me up. I hate the whole fact that it's, like, spy-ish. That, like, you know that they're looking at you.
I turned that off.
What do you mean you turned that off?
You can go into your settings and just make it so that people can't see that you view them, but you can't see people who viewed you.
You can do that? You can shut it off so they don't know you viewed them?
Yeah.
And then you never get that information. So, like, if that person viewed your profile, you don't get the
right. It's mutual. You don't get it. They don't get it.
I don't.
Well,
get
why don't you anymore. Like that? Like, you what do you want to get it?
No,
not
I guess
give
I
it?
Do.
Like,
what are you supposed to do on LinkedIn though? I don't know.
Well, LinkedIn for me. Here's what LinkedIn means for me. Mm-hmm. Just real fast.
I mean, everybody
there's
looks me up on it, and then it's like. I think that's it. You know.
You're not. So in my business, there's a lot of transience between people move around in jobs a lot.
Right.
So, I did business with this guy. All of a sudden, he leaves. He's over here. If I'm connected on LinkedIn, I know immediately.
So it's an entree thing. That the fact that you're connected to that person gives you a connection now to get to somebody else?
No, that I could get to him.
To him, okay.
Let's say you're a client of mine. Okay. You work at a big ad agency, and you decide to switch ad agencies.
I get that.
Boom. I now know that Howie Bender now works over at
this. You're not
going to
get the email saying this email.
Yeah. You don't have to update anything. Okay. I could just go look, and I know where my connections
are. That's why everyone should have a personal email, though. And it should be accepted that you give that out maybe, too, as business. Like, you should have a permanent email. I think email's too transient. Although email's probably fading off the face of the map.
No,
anyway.
Email isn't at all, so that's an interesting phenomenon. But email's as powerful as it's ever been for certain.
But it's transient still. Like, if you move your job, your email changes. Unless you have a personal email that you give out.
Okay, more and more people have... interestingly, in this boxing event, just to use the example, they sent out a mass email to everybody and saying we have a meeting, you know, to just go over the specifics of it. And
fucking commercial. It was never a commercial during soccer.
Oh, the end of the... That was the end of the game.
That was the end of the game?
We're going to penalties? Overtime. No, the first thing
injury?
They do a 30... Before I go there, they do a 30-minute overtime, but they play the whole 30 minutes out. Why don't they go just sudden death with that?
Yeah, right? That would make more sense.
It makes no sense. And then they go... Because here's why I feel that.
And the clock's got to tick down, man. You can't have the clock ticking up.
All right, let's get to that in a sec, because that's more just a... The problem I have strategically, or just logically with how they do it, is they allow it to play out, which gives a person a chance, you know, a team to tie again. And if that does happen, they go ahead and resolve it on penalty kicks. And I'm like, that's like resolving a basketball game with free throws. That's one particular skill. So it seems to me that if you just say, hey, you score after time is over, you win. Hey, let's take a quick break if that's okay with you.
You got me.
We'll be right back.
All right, we're back.
We're back. We just got a goal scored on us. So
the Belgians have scored upon us. There's now 1-0 Belgium.
Well, there's only like 12 minutes.
Think it ends this way, but who knows?
I would think so too. Should we just mute it now and just...
Let's move on to...
If we score, fuck, it'll be a great thing and we'll get back.
So here's a Swago thing I thought we could do. That could be like a fun, interactive, Swago-y thing.
Yeah.
Everyone could tell us who their children are and when they were born, and we can create a virtual Swago and see what Swago would have looked like from like 1995 through 2014.
Interesting.
Right? Just create an app that creates like digital Swago. And then like, oh, my kid would have been in the bunk with or the group with. Yeah, I guess you can't get bunk level. We don't have the sociogram working for us.
No.
unless the Brodies have like that intellectual property and want to give it to us.
You could probably
get the groups together.
You could
figure
actually
out who's in whose groups and who goes to the socials together. Mm-hmm. I think that'd be funny to say.
You could probably guess at a few associations based on families and friends and stuff who would be in bunks together.
But to put it all together would be cool, I think. If you could put it, you know, anyone that's interested, you know, give out your information, put it together, and let's see what the groups look like.
I think that would take a lot of effort for the value that we'd get out of it.
I don't think so.
Who? Really? What would you?
Okay, I'm insane. What do you want?
No. It's just everyone would have. Like, are you going to track everyone down to find out all those?
No. All you got to do is everyone tell us what your kids' birth dates are. We'll plug it into a spreadsheet, and then we'll have a date cut off, and then you know who's in what group.
Yeah, look, you could put the group. All right, it's that simple.
It's simple. It's just a matter of inputting the data onto a spreadsheet or a database, but a spreadsheet can do it.
Interesting. And then nephews and nieces and things
of
that nature.
Yeah, throw nephews and nieces. Anybody you want to, throw in
that
there.
That you feel you would have been
advocating.
And
give us the name of the kid, and then give us the connection to Swago Sutano, who you are, or you know, if there's brothers, sisters, all of them. And put it, and then we can come up with a virtual Swago Sutano of what it would have looked like in the 2000s.
Interesting. Okay.
All right. Well, there you go.
Maybe it's a project we'll pursue.
I'm talking to app development people in Malaysia right now.
You could probably get a good price.
I think so. They don't understand what I'm talking about, though.
I'm still watching, though, even though we're down.
Yeah. Listen, man, we don't deserve to, you know, be in the round of eight, do we?
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think we're that. Look, we're tough and scrappy and all.
The Elite Eight, or whatever, you know,
right,
if it's college basketball.
Right. Even with Jürgen Sensen or whatever this guy's name.
I don't know.
The German coach.
I know he's German. I don't know his name. I'm like average Joe America with my soccer knowledge here. And I still call it soccer. I haven't called it football yet.
It's funny because, like, on Twitter.
Yeah.
Everybody who's into it, and a lot of the people, like business associate people I follow are into this.
Yeah.
Everyone's an expert now.
Are they? People know soccer better than we used to.
Oh, they seem to. They seem to.
Come on, man. How'd they get that knowledge? Because we would have had it. Because I think you, like, when we were like 15, 16, remember, like, the Cosmos at one point were huge. Pele was here, and Beckenbauer. They took like the five greatest players in the world and signed them to the Cosmos.
Like, they gave him like $1 billion contract.
And Giant Stadium would sell out. They'd have like 72,000 at a Cosmos game.
I feel like that lasted for a year.
That was like two or three, but that was like when we should have caught on. Like, we were like perfect. We're like the 15-year-old kids that should have gotten into soccer because of that. And we still were like, eh.
But I guess that seems like it's ultimately a problem, though. How could we ever be really competitive at this level?
That's what I'm saying.
If we're just not going to foster
not into it.
A lot of soccer playing. There's just not a lot of it.
And Chuck Klosterman wrote a thing about soccer, and he's like, because everyone's like, well, we do play it. You know, everyone plays it, you know, but everyone's kids play it when they're really little, and it's like your
entree. It's just because it's
your
easy
entree.
First game.
Exactly. It's your entree into athletics, and you could stand there on the field and not do anything, and it's okay. You can't do that in basketball.
It's a bit of like amoeba ball.
Right. Yeah. Right. So, you know, soccer has great appeal for kids being introduced to sports.
DeMarcus Beasley.
DeMarcus.
I just had to say that.
Oh, damn. How great would... I still say Paul Allen should come in, like shirtless, with his
Put me in,
right? And Nelson Paul just scores,
comes and kicks it from 50 yards. Why are they not kicking it from like 40 yards out when no one's on him?
Come on, man! I know he's 51, but come on,
Dial.
It'd be like Redford in what's that baseball movie, The Natural? Nelson Paul kicks the goal, the lights blow out.
No one else could do it but Paul.
Suck it, Belgium.
So, Moose, we were noting that every time you go, oh, when are you guys going to be doing
He's in the flow, man. He's got the ski slope flow.
A ski slope, and we have one planned. And So back to Ricky Friedman a little bit.
Your observation on Moose calling it out every time?
Yeah, no, there's not more to say. Just here we are.
But it is. It's amazing, Moose. It's cool. You call it out every time. You're always like, when's the next ski slope? It's like, oh, it's tomorrow. Like 3 times in a row now that's happened.
Let me summarize. Moose, you're prescient.
It's like months
you're
in prescient. Between. He is. He knows. Right? He's got prescient. The vibe. He's got the vibe. He knows. He deserves the vibe. So what are you telling about Ricky Friedman?
Just Ricky Friedman really was a very... I'm looking forward to seeing him. I mean, I guess I saw him at the reunion.
Right.
Spent a few minutes.
But that's like 2 years ago. It's over 2 years ago at this point, you know? Time for another one of those.
No question about it. I'm still watching this game.
Yeah, no, I am too. All right, you know what? We're going to pause for a second. We're going to watch the end of the soccer, and I'm sure we'll come back and it'll be a 1-0 Belgium win, but, you know, the fuck knows.
Who knows? Bye. Back.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are here, and we're with our special guest star, Mr. Ricky Friedman.
Ricky Friedman in the house.
Yeah, guys, it's a pleasure to be here.
Pleasure to have you.
Ricky, you look exactly like you looked when you were in camp.
That's only because I looked like crap when I was in camp.
No.
You just repeated your joke.
Well, you repeated your question. You
repeated the question. I'll repeat the joke.
It's like, I know. He's been here for 2 minutes. We had one conversation. You just heard it.
But it's like, how dare you? You started off with the exact same thing.
Double teaming me?
I spoke to Ricky at 3 o'clock. We said, we're not going to
know the only way we ever would win by double teaming you.
So you really look, so it's nice to see you. It makes me feel closer to camp than when I saw Moose, who doesn't really look exactly like he looked at camp.
Not to
knock Moose. I don't.
No. I was going to say something else. And I say this to every guest, but not to blow smoke up your ass. But we were saying you were one of the most beloved people at camp. Like there was nobody I ever met that had a slightly bad thing to say about you. And that's an amazing thing to sort of have this generalized incredible popularity amongst the camp.
Oh, thank you. I enjoyed camp, and I hope that I was able to give back to it what I derived from it.
You did.
What year did you start?
I started late. I started in 73.
You're right, Mwah. That's what Mwah.
Yeah, I was 13 when I started. We had four kids in the family, and the parents couldn't afford four kids in summer camp.
Things were going a little bit better, though.
And back then, it was $940 plus $60 for the canteen. You can imagine now what it is.
It's funny that the canteen ate that much of the percentage of the overall camp bill. What was that?
6%.
6% goes to the canteen. The Gonzaleses had a little more influence.
Didn't you see their mansion?
They were bilking Dave at every turn.
Dave got him at the end, though.
Yeah, but I stayed till the end, or just shy of the end. In 84, which was the last year, I went up several times.
But you weren't there in 84. You weren't.
No, I just came up on weekends to visit. Yeah. They had me reffing games and driving the camp van, which is pretty interesting.
Well, wait.
You're not an employee.
I know.
You're like an independent contractor.
You came up numerous times in 84?
Yeah, probably 3 times in 84.
Wait, 84 is the year after we were there.
Yeah.
We weren't 84 there.
That
was the final year.
That was the final year.
Applebaum and your brother.
I was there for the sing. There was 63 kids at camp, I think. I remember I went up the first weekend, and I couldn't believe it. They had merged groups, and the camp was empty. I mean, there were kids, but it was empty. They closed half of the bunks. And when I got home, I was sad. And I said, you know what? Each kid deserves a chocolate chip cookie. I baked 63 cookies. I did the shoebox and mailed them up to Greg Zimmerman, who distributed them for me.
Who recruited you to come and be there a number of times? Was it Sheldon and Stan?
No, I think I was in some ways a persona non grata, but they had to maintain some connection to the past.
How are you persona non grata?
Right. Well, that just exemplifies the ridiculousness of what
took place. Sheldon and Stan were threatened by and this is Stan, not Stan Feld, obviously.
Right. Sheldon's lover.
That's always odd that it was two Stans, right?
Which was one after the other, which was quite the contrast.
Right.
But I think they were afraid that anyone from the old regime would dominate and bring back the old Swago, and they clearly wanted a new Swago, which unfortunately doesn't exist.
Yeah.
But if anything, I thought you and Peter too, Geller, were attempting more than anybody else from the old regime to make a transition over to whatever the new regime would be.
We tried to bridge the gap. Peter was much better at it than I was because I still held on to certain beliefs and I didn't believe you could walk in. What makes a camp? I mean, the facilities, but really what makes the camp are the campers.
Right.
And if you change too much, too radically, too quickly, you don't have your camp anymore.
Was Peter there with you the last year, too? No,
he may have come up one weekend. But no.
All right, so Peter's last year was probably the year before his last year was, ours.
It's funny because your brother said he was the head counselor.
No, 83, Peter and I split the summer. We were Ranger group leaders each for half the summer. I had to start med school rotations in August, and Peter was doing his dental school rotations in July. So we overlapped maybe 1 week.
Is 83?
83 was Peter's last year. It was my last year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait,
but you weren't head counselor, you were group leaders, right?
I was group leader of the Rangers. We yeah. No, head counselor.
Marty
that
was
year,
head counselor.
Marty Levitt, and then the next year was Chris.
I don't even know.
Chris, who was the MIDI count, the MIDI group leader, became head counselor that year, the last year.
So you wait, 2083 is the year that we were counselors, correct?
Right.
So you were there that year as well. Yeah, so yeah, you were really yeah, there for the last
that's
year
I remember,
with us.
Yes. He and Peter yes, were like Ranger group leaders together. Like that's right, my memory.
What was yeah, your memory of the whole revolution, insurrection and all? What do you remember from that?
I have some pictures of Lenny and I guess Adam Liebner was there.
We'd love him.
I was thinking about bringing the albums, but it's tough to bring them when you're stuck in the hospital half the day.
Right. And,
it was a sad time. You could see, I mean, not to be melodramatic, but it's like Nero watching Rome burn. You know, this was my pride and joy. I loved camp, and while I hadn't been there as many years as some of the other campers, I went back as a waiter, a counselor, group leader for two and a half years, and I actually wanted to be camp doctor and eventually buy the camp. I mean, this really was the best time of my life, going to summer camp.
Yep.
And watching what was clearly a new hierarchy take over and try to just in one fell swoop replace right, everything right, that had been there since Abe Marinoff was color war leader.
Right.
It was horrible watching.
Yeah.
And there were so many ways to handle that, but none of the ways which would have been appropriate to handle it was the one that Sheldon and Stan chose. To come in with a pedophile and just bizarre behaviors, never having run a camp, and to think that one could take over and run a camp is preposterous.
Well,
and Sheldon was a good businessman.
I don't mean to interrupt. It's 2-1 right now.
Oh. All right. We're watching
and
this
there's,
soccer
there's
storm.
There's 9 minutes
what?
Left. Just letting you all know.
That doesn't even interest me at this point.
Yeah, I agree, but I just had to say it. I saw it over Ricky's head, so continue. Sorry.
Sheldon was a very good businessman. He worked at the City Center as a producer, actually, of numerous fine arts productions.
But it's not the same as running a boys' camp. And the irony of it all, like looking back now, it's almost comic in the sense that like here's this guy and his partner buying a boys' camp, you know, from an older guy who's an old Jewish guy who was into sports and that was sort of the culture of our camp, and thinking that that's gonna work, you know, in yeah, any way, shape, or form, and then not even being conciliatory or negotiating in terms of, well, how's the culture going to go from here? Like it's going to be, we have to obviously have the old stuff and the new stuff, but just being like, no, it's all new stuff. You're going to stretch for 15 minutes before each period. It's like, what? Yeah.
I'm not even sure he thought it out that much.
I agree with both of what you're saying. I think it was crazy to think that he could just take over. And as a businessman, unless one's looking for what we used to joke is the world's most expensive tennis court, it was ludicrous.
Yeah, it was not a good deal.
And I don't see how any businessman who's used to running a business can suddenly say, okay, we're going to change everything. I mean, he was at the City Center for Performing Arts, and if all of a sudden you said, well, we're not going to have ballet anymore, we're going to have mud wrestling,
right.
You know, you'd laugh. You'd say, there's no way that's going to last.
Right.
And he just didn't have the experience to run a summer camp. He himself probably never went to summer camp.
He
surrounded himself with all of the wrong people. It's the exact formula for failure.
But I always thought from my perspective, and this really relates to 83, that in a sense he sort of relied on mostly you and Peter, I would think. And maybe he didn't even give you guys an ear. He didn't rely on anybody. But I thought you guys had a little
right,
bit of say.
Right.
He came crying to me, Peter, and I believe it was Andy Nakami
at the time.
And to look for help. He saw that his investment was going to disappear rapidly. He came to us, and he just didn't want to listen to what we had to say. He really thought that he had a better idea. And Stan, for whatever idea Sheldon had,
right.
Stan just drifted him, pulled him apart.
I agree.
And
I think you're right. I think Sheldon could have been a little bit more malleable, but Stan was really sort of
steadfast. Did they express to you exactly what they were looking to do, or you just felt the resistance to everything you put out
there? We felt the resistance. We would suggest things, and it's like, well, no, that's how you did it, but this will work. And it rarely did. I mean, if you look at some of the major events that had potential and worked in other camps that were total flops. I mean, we did our best. We did our best to run the Bucket Brigade, which we never had at Swago. Yeah, they had it at Swatona. They had it at other camps.
What was that?
I don't even remember.
The camp, was, like, oh. The camp lined up into two lines, mm-hmm. and I don't remember how the groups were chosen, but they stood. One group stood right. at the lake with small okay. buckets, yeah. and at the top of the hill, that big tree at the top of the hill between the social hall and the J-Bunks, mm-hmm. was one of the kitchen tureens, okay. one of the big bug juice
right,
buckets.
Right, right.
And you had to pass. There were about maybe right. three or four buckets. You run up the line and then
right.
fill them okay, back, and whoever it. Filled up the tureen first was the winner.
So that and way we tried to do that?
We tried to do
like,
that.
As an evening activity?
I think it was a late afternoon activity, okay, okay. yeah. They had this flashlight sing. You know, Swago was not known for singing.
No, it wasn't big.
No, not big. It was
this, although West Side Story, still, yeah, you are.
Who wouldn't just, I mean, I
forget the character's name, but the head of the Sharks.
I hope I'm
Bernardo.
Speaking out of turn, but I would think most people would just go, you know what, let me just do what they've been doing the last few years for the first
for
couple.
First 5 years.
For the first couple years.
Or at least
here.
I would say, like, let me get the frosh. Where's ever frosh now? Let me get them through seniors.
Any ideas I have, let me take a few years to introduce them.
Right.
Well, one would think that in a transition, you want to incorporate the old as much as possible to blend it. You know, the old story about you can drop a frog in boiling water or put the frog in water, turn on the heat, and boil it slowly. You end up with the same exact thing. Mm-hmm. But in one way, it's a sudden change, and either way, your frog's in.
Not to defend Sheldon, but maybe his thinking was, you know, the camp's population had been declining from I don't know, 75, I guess, to 80.
It was a tough
time when he bought
camps.
He thought, you know what, the old ways don't work, and I'm going to implement these new
ways. That's absolutely valid. That was the early 80s were a very big transition time. Computer camps were first starting. Mm-hmm. The specialty camps were gaining popularity, and a lot of the camps in the area folded. I mean, if you think about some of the big camps that folded, although subsequently some have reopened under their original
name.
Wayne
was on the ropes and came back super strong.
Tioga disappeared. It was Camp La Vie. It's back to Tioga now, I think. I had a patient come in today whose kid's going to Camp Cayuga. Someone else's kid, Lee Jacobson, and has two daughters, Lee Jacobson Benowitz has two daughters going to Chippenaw, which is one of our arch rivals. Another patient today has a kid going to Equinox. I mean,
Equinox is huge. I see a lot of Equinox stuff.
Yeah, he was at a transition, and he's right. Some of the things were no longer working. Specialty camps were becoming much more popular. But to just radically change the camp into sort of a no man's land, he didn't make it a specialty camp. He didn't keep it the traditional camp. He tried to introduce things without any experience. And there's nothing wrong with introduction of new ideas. I mean, that's how camps survive.
Right,
they change with
evolve,
the times.
Right.
But to radically change things, his idea of not having color war, you know, he tried to do it with the Olympics and make everything fair, which is a nice idea, but that wasn't cutting it in the 1980s.
Wait, what was the Olympics versus color war?
He
didn't want to call it color war. He wanted to call it color competition. And his experiment was...
It's like the Washington Redskin thing.
Yeah. Right. His experiment was having something called the Olympics, where they had a whole dramatic ceremony where speeches were read and lighting the torch, which was a good idea. It was novel. And this way you incorporated more kids because there were four leaders of the Olympic countries, whatever countries
it sounds
they
were. A lot like leagues, though. And leagues was never
it
big.
It was not dissimilar from leagues. Yeah, I don't know why leagues didn't catch on.
Leagues
were big
cared.
Until 1970.
It was the end of the day and you want
right.
to
Yeah,
move
I was like,
on.
Really? I'm not loyal to whatever leagues team I'm on. There's no, no sense of...
My first year in 70...
right.
In 73, I think that was the last year leagues were big. We had drafts. There were four of us chosen.
Oh,
my first year.
It was big.
And I was honored.
Wait, first year seniors were league captains,
Well, I was the Ranger. So what happened was Rangers and Eagles formed a group. Mm-hmm. Four teams split. We had about 25 Rangers and about 22 Eagles. And the
48
and seniors had their own league.
Oh, okay.
And these were played. They were played. You got your plaque up on the dining hall, the mess hall.
I think we had this in like 76 or so. I think this still
happened.
But
they were already fading. We lost a big year. In 1973, we had 220 campers.
Right.
A lot of first-year people came, at least in the Rangers. There were about six of us who were first-year kids. And out of 25, you have six people. It's 25% of the group. It's big. That was a big year, and 74, we lost an entire group. The group, we moved up to the inters, and we lost the group that would have been either the lower bunk lower two bunks of the Inters or the Rangers. We lost almost an entire group. There was a group of guys that were very athletic that just didn't, come back that year. Yeah. So by the time I was a second-year senior, there was basically – there were eight second-year seniors, nine if you count Lippy.
Who were your – so I feel like I know, like, who – you know, I connect you with Geller, but that's the later years. Right.
Peter Geller.
Who was your earlier – when you were a camper, who were you very close with? Who was your
– well – David Heyman was the one who brought me to camp.
I don't know.
His
who that
parents
is,
were camp
Heyman.
Doctors. He had a sister, Lori, another brother, Stephen, another sister, Terry. They were a long legacy because his mom was a camper at Swatona. He got me to camp, but the big group that stayed through: Bobby Klausner,
okay.
Andy Castine, and
right.
then in our bunk, Alex Swedlow,
okay.
Brian Leibowitz, Andy Wells.
So you were in Swedlow's, Alex.
Yeah, Alex and I.
It's funny. Ed Burke posted today. I guess he changed his profile pic to the
plaque from his year.
And I was like, Andrew Cast. I saw you're like your leader year, and that was my first year. Like you were my first mayor, so I still see you as like the mayor, you know. But Andrew Castine, I'm like, I have no recollection of that guy. Like everyone else is very vivid,
dark
like,
Jufro kind of thing.
No, he had curly hair, not Jufro.
Sorry,
he had curly hair.
Okay. Politically
but,
correct.
You know, he was in a train accident missed 75. I think it was, and came up to camp in 76. He may have even come a week or two late in 76.
Okay.
But yeah.
Just no memory of him is like, who is he? Like, I can't picture
his
face.
He, Bobby Klausner, and Alex Swedler were the white team leaders in 76. Mm-hmm. That was my year.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't really connect Alex with Bobby Klausner in the same group.
Ricky and
I
Bobby.
I feel like Alex
Ricky
is
and Bobby
a little
were,
older.
I always
like
picture
a year,
Ricky or, and Bobby were, to me, like, you were the good force, and Bobby was the bad force. No offense to Bobby Klaus, I'm sure he's a great guy, but it was that. It was this cocky, arrogant, like sort of point guard guy, and then this like Larry Birdish sort
right.
of hustler.
We definitely had our places on the Kiyuma Under 16 tournament. I mean, Bobby was the point guard; he was the star of the
he's
team.
A good player,
very good right, player. Yeah. And my role was really to rebound and give Bobby the ball. Yeah.
But you, I think, have the single greatest athletic moment in Swago, within the confines of Swago, that you actually stole the ball, picked it clean from a star point college point guard.
Yeah, Ernie Cobb.
Ernie Cobb, who played for the Harlem Wizards. And I guess he had a sign with the Wizards because he couldn't go, you know, had the
point shaving scandal
against
Providence.
Him, so he had to leave early.
So what, during the Wizards, you picked the guy clean?
Picked him clean, drove and took it and scored.
that didn't go over too big with them.
Yeah, all of a sudden the humor of the game left. Yeah. It got serious. In the social hall, right?
Yeah, we started to play outside.
And scored on the side where the door is.
That's correct, the higher side, so I couldn't jam it.
Ricky.
Had Ricky played at Brandeis, he would have knocked me off the top 30 list. You didn't hear this earlier.
There you go.
Had a distinction of being the 30th leading all-time career steals leader at Brandeis.
And you only played for 2 years, if I remember correctly.
Two and a half years.
Exactly.
So I could have been
number one.
Could have been. Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's funny. So you just picked them clean. The Wizards were always funny when they came. I always enjoyed that.
I didn't like this. Like, all of a sudden, they were these humorous, funny guys, and then they did layup lines, and they became dead serious. Yeah. I didn't like that sort of night and day thing. They set you up
as if you were going to beat
like, wait
them.
A second. You were just laughing, having a good time. Now you're taking this whole so seriously.
Well, those
like,
of us who never quite hit 6 feet jumping center, I was 6'9". It was kind of in the social hall yet.
Yes.
Everyone who went to a Wayne County camp knows the Harlem Wizards.
Yeah.
It wasn't
like
they just came to Swago.
That was a big route for them.
They did the whole circuit, just like Lou Flago.
Right.
Do you know how many people I've met who know who Lou Flago is?
Do they? That I didn't know.
Yeah,
Lou Flago's
everyone had Lou Flago, too.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah.
I think he's still calling, actually.
I think he is.
There's a YouTube video of him doing it, like, in 2009, like a very recent one. So he's still out there. I always loved that his name rhymed with Swago. It was like Lou Flago at Swago.
That's cool. How many things rhyme with Swago?
Not many.
Flago is a good one.
Flago and Dago.
We talked about this before, but I felt like the square dancing social was the premier social of all socials. It brought
that was
literally
a good idea.
When you're like a ranger. That age,
absolutely.
Eagle Ranger.
Absolutely.
Oh, you're just interacting in square dance.
Because
it's kind of fun.
Segue to ask somebody out. It's like you need a square dance
exactly.
partner.
You need to left a man with your partner there.
You
got to
left a man. So, you know, it can lead to bigger things.
Ask somebody out.
Ask somebody
so
out.
Funny.
But that was it. That was the segue. It eliminated the whole counselor fix-up thing, which I still say was
huge. Will you go out with me? Think about that. Like,
that question.
What you were really asking. What came with that?
Right. Well, as a ranger, you probably had two visits at the canteen a week.
Nothing really comes with that. I'm really saying, do you find me interesting, attractive?
It's not even that. Will you say I'm your boyfriend and I'll say you're my girlfriend? Like, okay. All right, good.
All right, we're there.
It's a good narrative.
Was John Eunice during your year speaking?
John Eunice, yes. Yeah, we've heard about him. John Eunice started before I did. He was in our ranger group, but interestingly, somehow along the way, he got promoted half a group. So
what does half a group mean?
When I was a first year senior, he was suddenly a second year senior. No,
really?
When I was a first year senior, he became a second year senior.
You can't do that.
That's a full group.
You can't pull that.
Full group.
Yeah. Wait, so he should have been a first year senior, but he was a second year senior?
He and I had skipped a year along the way, so we were always a grade ahead of the other people our age.
Yeah.
So that, I don't know, I guess he petitioned that he didn't want to be with us. He wanted to be with a year older.
He wanted to go two grades ahead.
I guess,
wow.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, this is purely an egotistical question, but I started in 72. You were just a year later and older. Did you know who I was?
Absolutely.
Okay.
You. I'll tell you.
Checking.
You and Andy Murstein.
There it is. Murstein.
Right. You were in, actually, probably, you were in the softs.
When you... How old are you?
54. I was in 73. I was a ranger.
In 73, I was a MIDI.
A MIDI. Okay, yeah. So then I remember you more the next year when you were in the SOP. No, you would have been a cadet the next
year. I skipped the cadets and went to the SOP.
I remember you.
I think Annie Murstein came around that year and the next one, right?
73, 74.
Yeah.
I remember you and Andy Murstein sort of being the two best athletes in the group, and then he sort of dropped out, and I don't know what happened.
Inter year he went.
Yeah.
Ranger year he was done.
And it was nice that you both had that Steen suffix to your name. It was like Pearl
and
Murstein.
And he went to Tufts, and he didn't play basketball there. The story ends.
Yeah. He played football.
It was a nice beginning.
I think he played football, actually.
I was thinking that he did, but then I don't think
football.
Football?
Yeah.
What was his position at football?
I think it was a tight end.
Okay. If you say so.
There you go.
I knew a lot of the younger campers.
I feel I remember you
came
from
to
the
me.
Beginning.
My first introduction to you was like you came in our bunk. I was in C-13 as an Eagle, and I guess it was the mare race, and it was you versus Alex. And you were close with – you like Boog.
You and Alex?
Well, what happened was somehow I got drafted to run for mayor, and Bobby Klausner said, okay, I'll run for deputy mayor. So Bobby was always angry that we were campaigning together, and he was deputy mayor, and I was mayor. You know, I was like,
couldn't he have gone for mayor? Like he
could have gone, I guess, and I would have said, okay, I'll be deputy mayor. It didn't matter to me. It was a title.
Position.
You know, I got to ride in the golf cart at the carnival.
Right. I never got
with the crown. That was a big honor.
I was the mayor and never got that, and I'm bitter about it to this day. And the picture of Jake with Cheryl, that just put salt in the wounds. But anyway. But I voted for you.
Thank you.
You gave us candy
Somebody
bars.
Tell me the voting. Tell me. Like, so you say you voted. I have absolutely no recollection of doing a vote.
That's a good point. I don't remember either.
How did this vote happen?
How did you vote?
Did I write it on a piece of paper and sign it?
You wrote
it
on a paper.
Where, social hall?
Wrote it on a paper, folded in half. Your group leader counted it. At least that's how it was for the older groups. I don't know how it worked for the younger
groups. I don't ever.
We went around.
I don't believe I exercised my right to vote.
It was all a sham.
We went around electioneering. We went around electioneering.
I got a candy bar from you, man.
I remember that. I remember people
a marathon
campaigning.
Bar.
I remember the campaigning, but I don't remember
voting.
Okay, come on, get online.
Like, where did you vote?
Bring your ID card.
They did it. They
in your bunk in the social hall. I got no recollection.
They typically did it bunk by bunk, counted, and then they made the announcement at evening lineup.
They should made that an evening activity. Like
I
the
feel
whole,
like I would remember just
one time
writing that
voting,
thing out, and
writing the name.
The vote. Yeah. Anyway, I don't. Yeah. I would. I'm sure I voted for you, though.
Thank you.
As a
You like
Eight
the chocolate pudding campaign, one of the popular campaigns.
Was that your?
It was not only mine. I believe Eddie Burke, as the mayor antecedent to me,
was his thing. He came on here. He told us he had a milk and cookie call at night. That was his thing.
And then there was a
good
big
strategy. Can't argue with that food.
Well, when, chocolate pudding. Seems
I guess
like
it was Jay Baum was mayor. There's a big controversy as to whether or not the hot dogs were kosher or not.
Oh,
big controversy.
Breaking out the big K.
Yeah,
and
then whether or not they were at the time. I don't know
but
by the time we finished.
But
they
weren't
sure. I know the horses were very few in number by that year.
We had three. We have one now.
There was like, what was the guy's name who ran the kitchen earlier?
Nat.
It was like
Nat.
A black guy.
Yeah,
Nat.
Nat was
Ray.
The head
Ray
chef
was the
at
chef.
Yale.
Ray was the chef at one point. I think he was there for a long time.
Ray.
Nat was the chef.
Nat
was not only chef, but he ran the kitchen too, if I remember right.
Well, there were stewards. There were stewards. Sheila Applebaum.
Oh, they worked for Nat with Nat?
And then later on, Stanley Kaplan, no relation to the...
Stanley Kaplan.
The SAT guy, Stanley Kaplan, who was a steward.
He went on to great things in testing.
Stan Kaplan was there in 77, I remember, because he was a steward in Bobby Clausen, and he got into a fist fight one day.
Okay.
I remember Clausen getting in a fight with...
wasn't he?
He almost got in a fight with the inter-head counselor, and I remember his reaction was
the
like...
Because the guy who would, on defense, in 3-on-3 ball games, I don't remember his name.
Right, everybody called him Herb?
Yes.
He was everybody a hacker. He was one of these guys who would hit your wrists and...
He had knee braces on.
Yeshiva ball. Yeah, point the elbows.
And Klausen lost it and was like, "You want my face? You want my dick?" It was like, "Go at him, Bobby."
And then I'm sure. I don't really remember there ever being an epic fight at Swago. Was there ever a real fisticuffs where, in your memory, where someone got bloodied up from a punch?
Remember Alan Pearlstein versus Fred Kashtan.
Pushed me down, and I went down.
It wasn't really a fight, too. Like, it sort of slipped, and it was like, oh, Fred. It was like, it wasn't a big deal.
He pushed me, and I tripped and fell down.
That was the end of the fight. It wasn't like it went on. Yeah, that was.
Yeah, I don't think there were too many out-and-out truly real fights. No. Well, actually, Bobby and the steward. The steward must have been, I don't know, 40 years old. He had a camper who was 2 years younger than we were. So if his son was 14 or 15.
Oh, really?
No, we were waiters, so his son was 15 or 16.
So what caused
the fight? Bobby was 17. Well, the horse riding team, the instructors.
Horse riding team.
Yeah, I love how it starts. The horse riding team.
I do remember that.
The horse riding team. Thank you. I'll be here all week trying to be... I can do other voices if you prefer. Donald Duck is a
We have
popular
our sound
member.
Effects, man.
We finally.
The rain came across the horizon.
That's okay, on the island of Yuanalehua. The horse riding instructor, Dottie, who, as is the case with most Dotties, is about the size of a house. Not a very large dot.
Stick with Dorothy.
would come in to eat dinner with us, the waiters, where we were setting the tables. And look, they came right from the stables, and they smelled as if they did. So, plus they were a little anti-Semitic. They threw in
You're anti-Semitic.
Right, a bad combination.
You're ruining my meal.
And Bobby one time just started complaining. And he almost got into a fight with Dottie. But, you know, he was complaining
about
something.
The stench.
And then Stan came back to settle it, and then he and Stan started. They were
Stan
wrestling.
Feld?
They were Stan Kaplan.
Okay, Stan.
The other Stan, not Sheldon Stan.
Not Stan.
The third Stan. Kaplan.
I don't remember.
It's like Kazakhstan.
Stan Kaplan.
Yeah, he was there as a steward. I think in just 76, 77. He ran the kitchen.
Okay.
Not the chef. The chef.
Can you define what a steward is for me? I'm not 100% sure what you mean.
He's responsible for organizing the
We have a very
meals.
Important guest. Get over there.
He's
the concierge.
Make sure he's happy tonight. Dave's got in.
Extra scrutinized.
Dave's brother-in-law is here.
He's got Mr. Brody's biggest heart client. Anyway, let's move along.
Lippy and Brad Kushner had a mock karate fight one day.
Lippy and Brad Kushner.
Brad was a must have been a
were
second
they the
year
same
senior.
Year?
No,
Brad no. Lippy Kushner, was younger than Kushner.
Yeah, Lippy
Kushner
was
like
our
Moss's
year. And yeah, Brad was Moss's year. So he must have been about four years older.
2 years, I think. Right,
two
Moss
years?
Was 74 guy. Yeah.
Lippy, we've talked before that Lippy was basically the scariest figure in my years.
Mine too. It was like a Stanley Kubrick movie, almost,
the
Lippy character.
Brad Kushner
the
was just
maniac,
like psycho.
Right, maniac, like Tim Tyler, and Lippy.
Like, I just picture the overalls. Like, every time I picture Lippy, it's like that's that bowl cut sort of part in the middle with the overalls on. And like,
we could talk hours about Lippy. I mean, there are stories about him.
He was given latitude, from what I know.
Yeah. How far
I felt bad for Lippy, though. He really, I mean... His parents were much older. I don't know much about his upbringing, but I think he came to camp to escape it.
I sort of heard that he did.
He almost didn't make it out of camp, but
he escaped too much.
Yeah,
he brought a new perspective on life
on
to the rest of us sheltered Jewish boys from the suburbs.
He opened it up.
Yeah,
he opened up the gates.
Where did you grow up in Long Island?
I never grew up.
No, I know.
Where did you start your childhood?
When I was a camper, we lived in South Shore, Hewlett High School, Northwood.
I pictured you as a five towns guy for some reason.
That was my memory. That may be an insult.
It's a recollection, no judgment.
Green Acres,
yes, that was our pickup place. And before the gun incidents, that was also our hangout place from time to time.
Oh, it was. So that's all right. Well,
yeah, that was in my distinction. Like, to me, Green Acres, because I'm a North Shore Roslyn guy. Like, Green Acres, the only purpose of Green Acres was to get the Sewago.
Right.
Like, seeing that green boomerang sign in Alexander's was like, yes. You know?
How? Because I went to, like, one of the satellite.
Yes, Westchester.
I was in New Jersey. How, like, was it just like a scene at the Green Acres?
Yeah, it was.
Many different camps left the same day, and I remember there were specific spots. This was always the Sewago spot, and one year we got bumped by someone because they had more buses than we did, and it was a big thing. We had to be on the east side of Gimbel's instead of the west side of Gimbel's or whatever it was.
I think it was Alexander's.
Alexander's was right on the roadway, but the buses were usually at Gimbel's.
Oh, okay.
Two stores that are right out there.
Signify Jewish camps better than any.
If I threw that out at my place of work, they'd be like, what are you speaking
about? We've got the Gimbel's account.
Ooh.
Exactly. Yeah, leaving from Jersey or one of the other places, I get a slight inferiority complex.
Yeah, in those days,
we're just leaving from that one where there's one bus.
Yeah.
The girls were on the bus.
We would have four buses for the boys and four buses for the girls.
Right. And that's
the thing
about
the camp. One.
Like, the departure was sort of, it was co-ed. It was a co-ed departure. There was some Tona buses and Sewago buses. So you'd get there and it was like, it was a mass of people because it was both camps.
It's amazing to me as an adult now. Because we go on a trip every year. We do me, Howie's brother, and Adam Liebner and his brother. So six of us do a trip up, and we just chill out on the Delaware and have a good time.
You remember Lenny Bender?
I know Lenny very well.
He loves
us, and I know John.
He gave you great props.
And it's like an hour and 55 minutes.
Yeah.
It's maybe a little more, but it's not. It's so close.
The last time I visited Sewago actually was with Peter Geller. We went up one winter. It was the February of probably 84. That was the last time.
Oh, you haven't been up
there since 84?
30 years?
We were there.
Oh, no, summer of 85, we had a mini reunion, and we stayed at Timmy's house.
I was there 3 weeks ago and took a deep fryer from the kitchen.
The whole, like, mess hall's now in
it's It's falling. I didn't take anything. It was a fryer thing laying there.
But I've cleaned it up.
I took a Brillo to it. Yeah, it's hanging in my pool house now.
That's kind of cool. Like, you should make... Like the French toast that they used
humble brag.
The French toast, you should make that just to say you made it out of his things.
No, exactly. I like that.
It's sad, you know.
Right,
we don't always go over to the camp. We do usually. We went this year. You know, it's just,
well, you know what's
sad,
crazy now,
but it's also not
is
sad.
That our kids now and your kids too would have gone through Sewago Spitona.
Yeah.
Like they'd be completed. They would have had that experience and like looking forward to passing
on to their
kids. They
would have been counselors already there.
Exactly.
Group leaders,
or beyond, you know? So it's amazing to think like that would have passed. And before he came on, we were thinking like, oh, it'd be interesting to sort of take everybody's kids' birth dates and put together like a virtual Sewago of like who would have been in what group with whose kids and like,
that's
oh, kind look.
Of funny, actually. Now they're saying it the second time I
design
actually like
your own,
it better.
Design your own Apache relay, assign your
there you
sign
go. We
to,
can take it to that level too. You know, all of a sudden you got to plan the Apache, you know.
Boy, who's going to be the color leader?
It's like a second life Sewago.
There's no way that your kid's a color world leader over mine, though.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll see. My kid can write some songs.
That's awesome. So let's take a quick break.
All right.
We'll be right back.
Okay, anyway. So that. All right, we're back.
We are back.
Ricky Freeman.
You guys were talking about it. You were,
I know,
talking
we missed
for
some good
seconds.
Stuff.
No, it was good stuff, but I think the people who loved camp, because just weighing in on this, I felt the same as you did, and it sounds, I was just so comfortable there. It was just a place where I could just be myself.
Authentically you to the nth degree, which is what life is.
It was really a comfort zone, and I just looked forward
but
to
it. But
doesn't
that carry through now? Like, now I feel like that's, like, the secret to everything, is being authentically you in your everyday life. And Sewago gave me that opportunity, and I feel like that's what, you know, I do now.
You. I totally agree.
Yeah, I think schools tended, at least in my neighborhood, were much more cliquish. At camp, you couldn't really form a clique. Yeah,
no.
There were people who were... you know, a little bit better athletic, a little bit more drama-oriented, whatever, and they had the one or two kids who always hung out in the nature shack. But I think it let people do what they wanted, and they weren't really stigmatized.
And you were also removed from, like, you were in, like, brought into this unique environment that had nothing to do with parents. You were in an isolated world, and it was a comfortable world where you, there was really not a lot of...
To this day, I think that campers or kids who did well in summer camp had a huge advantage on those who never went to camp or didn't do well.
I would agree with that.
Not just in college, but in the rest of their life.
No, from a sociological...
Basically, you have to handle all your problems because you're living with this kid. You can't go back home and say, oh, I won't see him for a weekend or I won't see him. Things will settle down. You have to handle the problem.
Right. How intimate is that? You're sleeping with six other people in the same room. Like, you have to work shit out. You have to negotiate. You have to make your way.
We were also talking about how cool it was. My son was born in the and Howie's son was born in the hospital where you run the. Well, tell me exactly what your position is. What do you do?
Right now, I'm the vice chair.
Our children were born 20 years ago.
Academic affairs. Change. At the time, I was the director of labor and delivery.
So that meant you were running the floor, basically, right? So so it was pretty cool. Like, I didn't know this. I show up and there I am, and there's Ricky Freeman. I'm like, this is. Kind of really
like a taste what a of weird, Swago cool comes connection. About as a children. Yeah.
I will tell you, from my standpoint, seeing campers and Harvey Romanoff, who is my intergroup leader in 74, showed up one day when I was a resident with his wife Mimi, and his wife was in labor. Seeing
that's the Asian
campers,
girl, that's the Asian woman.
Yeah,
all right,
yeah,
that's pretty
seeing
cool.
Seeing campers
I know very
or
about
counselors
Harvey
who were delivering at Sinai to me, it was amazing. I mean. Going from camp, which really was my home away from home, to Sinai, which became my home away from home, it was really a tremendously good feeling.
Well, for us, and it's you. Of all Swago people, it's you. It's not like, listen, if it was Neil later, great. But it's like, it's you know, no knock on Neil. I love Neil. But
I don't know him that well, but it's great.
But it's Ricky,
like
who's like,
Ricky.
Who is on the pedestal as far as Swago people is concerned.
I appreciate the comments.
No, it's true,
but,
though. It's true,
for me,
though.
Excuse me. Whatever pedestal I stood on was only because the campers and my friends, so many campers became my friends. Over the years, that it was their doing, really.
You put yourself out though in a very like good energy way though to everybody. Like
I would guess that that's your way.
Anyway,
consistently,
right?
In life.
I don't think it has to do with Swago. I think you know, not to knock Swago because I love it, but I think you bring a lot to that.
Well, I
to
appreciate
that
the comments. Wish my mom and dad could hear this. You know, as they say, my dad would say he takes after me. My mom would just smile. My brother would say, "You're not telling the truth."
All right. Well, we're going to bring your brother in, and
you got a lot of these
hard
like Catskills lines, also, as they say.
Exactly.
I like that.
Hang out in the Poconos or the Catskills for 10 years.
What happens.
And that's what happens.
You got the good lines.
Did you work Cutchers? Whatever.
He's
Ranger group leader, man. Come on.
The closest I got was working at Swago. I was there until it closed. So, after that, it was residency.
Feldman and I love the story. Like, Feldman was a counselor, and Dave and I both had at the time bad allergies, so we both would take Actifed, and we'd be like, this shit works, but it like kills you. And David was like sleeping like the first two
Dave
weeks.
Dave Feldman and Larry Jacobson were two of my four counselors, and I think David spent more daytime. Forget about nighttime. I have no idea where he was at night, and I don't know if he remembers where
he was
at night.
He's with us.
But more daytime hours in the bunk sleeping than he did outside of the bunk playing. And he was a decent athlete.
No,
but,
he was medicated, though.
But he was out. He was out between his prescriptive medications and his soon-to-be prescriptive in New York medications. I don't think he had any clue.
That was at night. That stuff was at night. In the daytime, it was all
after 8 p.m.
Right.
He was down all day and high all night. So,
you'd love him as a ball player. Have you seen him play ball lately?
No, not recently. No.
Right. We talked about this on one episode. I've never seen anyone become. He was decent. He's amazing now. He could run 48 minutes, shoot the ball, handle the ball. He's one
take
of
it
the,
to the hoop.
One of the better, best ball. Well, certainly the most improved ball player I've ever seen. But he's still. Amazingly good, still slender and strong. Go listen to whatever the episode was, you'll hear about it.
A lot of old
episodes. Yeah, I actually saw him not that long ago. Maybe actually not that long ago when you get older. Not that long ago, it could be a year ago.
6 years ago.
Yeah. we saw him down at the Mason Jar.
What is that?
It's a bar down someplace midtown.
All right.
And Kenny Linsky was there. Jake came into town. Larry Jacobson came
into
town.
You had a reunion
town.
And didn't announce it
to anyone
else?
He announced it. Like, Larry Jacobson put it on Facebook, going to be in New York, such and such. And he said, anybody up for it? I said, yeah, where do you want to meet? And
this is on Facebook?
Really?
It was on Facebook.
I don't remember this, man. All right. Maybe we missed that. But that wasn't the one that was in like Because before the big reunion in 2012, there was one like in 2010, maybe.
Maybe that
where,
was.
In a bar.
Is that your...
You were there.
Is that the old person's time thing happening again? Was
I
it four
guess
years
so.
Ago?
Yeah, it could have been 4 years ago.
Right.
We had... Well, there was
that was
one
the Popkin,
at...
The Popkin reunion at that bar.
Oh, that was a great reunion,
that was
too.
A great reunion.
About 150
reunion.
People showed
yeah.
up.
Yeah, yeah, it was
yeah.
solid.
That was good.
So you had a little mini one. How long ago was this?
This was probably... well, it had to be probably, I would say... November of 2012.
Oh,
October 2012.
So it's definitely after the last major reunion.
Snake
yeah.
was in town.
Yeah.
Right. Probably, yeah.
He's anyway. Been on here too. It was a good. That was a good episode too, because he was like,
he
was
my
memory.
He
was
great
our
memory
bunk
of what everything
you know?
That happened.
Yeah, and his memory is elephantine. It's like he just remembers everything. Like the name Mwah. Like, Mwah. I don't remember what Mwah means. And he's like, no, here's how it happened. Maury came in the bunk and added this to it. I'm like, oh, okay. You know?
Yeah, well, anyway.
Yeah, so there.
Maury Pierce, that's a name for
right.
Yes.
But you were a group leader in the second to last year.
Yeah,
we were counselors, and were you a counselor the year before that? Like,
yeah, I was in 78. I spent half the year in a research lab, and half the year I came up to camp. But visiting
78.
Day, 78, I came up and was an Eagle counselor for half the summer.
I think for my brother, right? Maybe.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
He was my brother. You were my yeah. brother's counselor too at some
yeah.
point.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
That was in the inters.
Oh,
that was in the
yeah,
inters.
That's cool.
Ricky's interwoven into many people's Swagos.
He's the
lives.
Man. He's
yeah.
he's
yeah.
you know.
The in so 79 I wasn't there. 80 I was a senior group leader.
You weren't there in 79 at all?
I took summer classes.
Wait, in 80 you were a senior group leader.
Senior counselor oh, okay. in 80. Then,
Where were
81,
you?
Intergroup leader, 82.
I don't remember that.
Wait, we were seniors in 80?
We were seniors in 80. You were in our group as a counselor?
Yeah, I
when
guess.
We were in 80? Who were the kids?
I was in L5.
Who were those guys?
Let's see. That Michael Mischer, I think.
No, that's the that
no,
can't
no.
be that year because that's
they
the
skipped 80. The, no,
maybe
they,
it's 81.
They pushed up.
Michael Mischer was
Peter,
never
Peter
up
Geller.
On that.
No,
Peter,
no, never in our group.
Peter Geller was Ranger group leader. And then the next year... His kids were supposed to move up, and they held them back, and they moved Michael Mischer's group into first-year seniors a year early. They leapfrogged over someone.
Yeah, but
and
we were never.
It wasn't
Michael
our year,
now,
though.
So that may
never.
Be a year behind
so
you.
79,
so maybe,
it may have been. We weren't there in 79?
I wasn't there in 79.
Yeah, no, happy 81 if it's a year later.
So then
Mischer wouldn't be a senior until 81.
Okay, right, the year after, right, not the year before.
And
get
then
that
more,
shit together.
For a while, I was Ranger group leader.
The soccer
game
has fucked me up with time.
Right, you got it all reversed now.
Everything's reversed for it.
It's tacking up.
Should have brought the album. I'd have all the pictures of who was
you
in the group.
You should post yeah, that whatever. Shit, though. You got to digitize it and scan it.
Yeah.
You know, because
there's about 250 pictures. It took me a while.
All right. But, so you were a photographer. I didn't
really?
Take. I didn't take a single
I
picture.
I wish I had pictures.
I have zero
from when
pictures.
I was,
zero
I wish,
pictures.
I wish I was had pictures from when I was a camper. The photography that I always liked taking pictures, but I never did as a camper. So there's one picture of me that I have as a camper, which was from West Side Story, and I think that was courtesy of Sharon Tanzer. But
that was a good play, man. Like I was impressed.
I've seen West Side Story. Three times in America and one time in England.
You know what it is? I'm sure there's a correlation between how young you are versus the production value of the senior play. But like,
could
so
be.
that was my youngest senior play. But
it's
it was
greatest
really
performance.
I was like, you know, fuck the movie. I like this. This is great. Ricky's Bernardo pulling that Puerto Rican thing off really well.
I don't feel like I knew it that well before the seeing there. Their performance.
No, exactly. Like, I don't remember
oh,
like knowing.
You learned it
from
Swago. From,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
me too.
The most important part of West Side Story as a Broadway musical to me is the Swago production.
It's very interesting that almost every Swago person that made it to the end of the year really knows who Lucille is.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Well,
yeah.
As a guy,
yeah,
I think the girls all know her regardless, but the guys.
But for us, like that one, it was just this one-off
yeah.
that would occur just when you got to the seniors.
And it was so strange because you had no... like history of doing plays. It wasn't anything you ever
yeah,
did in
it was
in,
rarely
it wasn't like,
ever done.
Like song night Swago, for the group. Because you'd have song night for the group, but it wasn't like yes. you do a play and a skit. It was nothing of that sort. It was just like sing. All right, good. And then all of a sudden, boom, you got to do a play.
And structure.
It's like, and
someone from Swatona was bossing you around.
Right.
Right, right. And you didn't. And how many guys like even did it at all, like in high school or before
not
that?
Many.
Maybe you did your fourth
not
grade
many.
Fourth grade
not,
play,
right.
but that was
although
not,
in,
not many.
In fact, I was the lead in a third grade play. Actually.
Oh, sorry.
So I had some thespian experience.
I saw Ricky giving his resume to Lucille.
Well,
like,
that's yeah. how you won the job.
I think Lucille gave me the role of Bernardo because I couldn't sing very well and had the biggest part where you didn't really have to sing very much at all.
Oh, no? Fake mustache, though? I kind of remember fake mustache.
I think that was my own peach fuzz. Okay.
Doing the Ricky Lorber. Nobody was better than Ricky Lorber, though, in Fiddler.
Ricky Lorber.
I mean, you know, the guy had the beard going.
I think he had a beard in the socks.
They did Fiddler on the Roof?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ricky Lorber was a
77,
Tevla.
Willie Putterman and,
Willie Putterman
and the Kleinberg Shriek, they called it. Gail Kleinberg was...
what would you do to have, like, footage... To watch, your
if you had
right
all
now.
The senior plays how, like on a on a YouTube,
I would love that.
Oh my god,
that would be some
Lucille. If you listen,
were they not videotaping these? Back
we didn't have video back then. It would have been Super 8,
kind of whatever.
It would have been
something.
Super 8 cameras,
and they weren't going. Hey,
they should have done
someone it. Someone Super 8 this damn thing.
I always got jealous about Sutona because they got from Color War. They got their records. Remember how they would get? They'd get their records like mail to them.
We should inquire. And like,
well,
Lucille's
Allen's
daughter,
from anything
Lucille's
goes,
daughter is in the Randy
Lorraine,
son,
Lorraine's
daughter-in-law,
Because Randy's Barbara
Randy's the son. Right. She's the daughter-in-law.
They're on the site, and we can just ask the question. But were Super 8 taken or whatever? And where are they? Like, let's maybe they exist.
We had video. There were video cameras back then because, as a special surprise for a 1975 Kiyuma team that was led by Neil Herman, Andy Luger, Mitch Kaplan, don't want to shortchange Eddie Burke as the sixth man, Ricky Pollock, Bobby Klausner. I think that was our starting five. They videoed one
Dave
of
Blumstein
the games.
Dave Blumstein coming in with, we're going to have a pizza party.
Right. They videoed the game so we could watch it. So they did have videotape, although that was sort of unheard of. It was black and white, and not many people had it.
Black and white. There's like subtitles.
It would be great, though.
Hey, Andy Wells had, at one point, a video of our Color War sing. I don't remember anybody videotaping the plays because the parents didn't come up.
Right.
And what counselor brought up, now, you know, with the phones, you'd video everything.
Right.
But what counselors would have brought a video camera to camp or a Super 8
it
camera
sucks.
To camp?
Other than the group
maybe the owner of the camp would have had
it would
a little
have been
foresight.
Nice. Would have been nice.
Other than the group picture, I have no photographic evidence of my time at Swega.
I have some pictures of you, some pictures of Alan.
Oh. Wow.
Probably have a few more pictures of Mark just because he was in my group.
Right.
Fortunately, from the site, I've seen more, you know, I've gotten to see pictures of me at camp, mostly like first year, senior year, whatever. It's interesting. You know, and of course the
right,
sitting
on
the
first
thing,
base with the chef.
Well, if we have the opportunity in a small group, I will bring the albums. The last time they were brought out en masse was
The reunion?
I didn't bring them to the reunion because
Bill Clinton's
400
election.
People. It was
where else would there have been any interest in
Audrey's birthday party.
Oh,
what is that?
Audrey had a birthday party, and on Facebook, Sharon Tanzer announced it. So I, being the loyal Swigelite, figure, she's announcing it. It's open for everyone. So I responded, yes, I'll be there. I'm on call, but if I can be there, I'll be there. And Sharon said, you're the first Swigelite to respond. So when someone says you're the first to respond, one naturally presumes there's going to be a second, third, fourth. So I rounded in the morning. I had been up all night. Rounded in the morning. Picked up some pastries because I didn't want to show up empty-handed.
Listen, Audrey, come on.
I put on my Swago jacket, which I still have. Back then it was the third year award.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And ring the doorbell. And someone answers the door. It may have been Nikki Alpin or someone a couple years older than I. And they say, it's the delivery guy here because I have this box of pastries. I turn around and
he's got a
shitty
jacket on.
He's got a Swago jacket on. So I'm like, the delivery guy.
What a coincidence.
Oh, Swago pizza.
So she put two and two together eventually. And actually, Bert Rosenbluth, Audrey's son, was the only other Swagoite there. So when I was the first, I was actually the only who responded.
All right, it was great.
But it was good. I brought the albums, and I spent – it was great. It was a lot of the Swatona girls from when I was a counselor, a group leader, and I had become friendly with them either through siblings or just from going to the socials where they were hanging out with my kids.
He's beloved by Swatona. Like, all the Swatona girls, like, love Ricky.
Yeah, what's very funny is the memories that Audrey and Rita Swedlow had – for me as a group leader were so different from those that they had when I was a camper, because we had our fair mischief, but I remember vividly putting the garbage can on top of the Swago flagpole.
Right.
Then we started doing it Swatona, and Andy Nakami, Stuart McFarlane, and I went over one night. We
put
up the garbage can with
the
panda bear, stuffed panda, on the top of the flagpole.
Not the Family Guy creator.
No. Irish guy with bad feet and loves the psychedelic
Scottish guy who liked to play basketball, but the kids could never understand him, so I had to translate for him. But we put the garbage can on top of the flagpole, and lo and behold, that morning they were taking pictures. The camp pictures. So Audrey made Randy take down the flagpole, and he refused to do it to show them how it was done. He refused to do it until all the girls went into the mess hall for breakfast. He took it down. It was bad timing.
Never
stayed
there
forever.
Do it, but
that was a secret in terms of how to get the garbage.
Yeah, big secret.
Honestly,
big secret.
It doesn't seem that difficult. I can easily.
They can't let the trade secret get out.
You tie a
non-disclosure agreement.
That's exactly right. But back then, no one knew.
Bamboo pole, maybe, from the waterfront?
Yeah, I think so.
I think only a handful of us knew how to do it because everybody was amazed.
Right.
We had some great Spatona raids. We had two great Spatona raids as Rangers and Inters.
I think they were great to us. I don't think the rest of Spatona
I don't think anybody else did anything like that.
But...
No, Spatona had a razor about us as Inters. They had their once was a raid. Best way goes Inters.
Give me one where we like did the whole...
Kenny Lindsay's hair and the maple syrup jar. We had a map and we had an alarm clock that was timed in a cubby on the flagpole where the alarm clock went off at lineup and then flicked the switch on the tape and made the tape play.
You know that little game where the ball runs down and hits things?
Mousetrap.
Exactly, mousetrap.
He's making it sound like that.
But
I don't
think
it's
It was a real Goldberg from Camp Swago.
Listen, I'm going out on a limb. It was that and it worked to perfection.
And the trap game and covered on the mouse at the end.
We trapped Audrey under a big badminton thing.
Off the board into the down the ramp.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
Awesome.
So, Ricky, you got me a marathon bar. I voted for you for mayor.
Thank you.
Alex... Sorry.
I don't even know if they make marathon bars anymore. That was the candy bar.
Marathon bars, they had, like, you'd go to the canteen, buy the marathon bar, and then it would inevitably lead to a contest within the bunk about using the marathon bar to measure certain things.
Do you think it was a penis measuring
thing? It actually was, yes.
Whatever.
I'm sorry.
We didn't do that in our
childish,
bunk.
Competitive. Maybe that happened in Moss's bunks, but it didn't happen in everyone else's.
And it didn't go metric. I'm just saying.
You're going to win or lose regardless of the system of which they measure.
Some people call it optometric. I said, no, we'll stay English. All right,
let's take another quick break. We'll be right back. All right, we're back very quickly.
We took a 2-second pause and we're like, you know what,
Ricky
fuck
Freeman
that, man.
To tell
we're coming back. Go.
Say what you said.
Yeah, the marathon story, which we actually didn't experience in my bunk, I'm sorry to say, did trigger a memory. And I remember sitting around with some of the British counselors. And evidently there was a contest in the seniors who actually had the largest penis in the group.
Really? Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the British counselors came back
per
to the circle,
a marathon bar.
Yeah. Came back to the circle.
Wait,
and they
were using
us,
a marathon bar?
I have no. I wasn't one of the judges.
I was more focusing on the instrument we used rather than the activity.
It was a marathon bar.
I wasn't one of the judges, but
bar was the judge.
Came back and said, "Well, you know, I think that when it came to Willie's, I'd say Paul Willy's. Allen and Alan Pearlstein definitely had the longest. Allen may have him beat by maybe a smidge, but I'll tell you, Pearlstein's 1.5-fold thickness to him."
1.5-fold. That's 150%, I believe.
I will say nothing.
That's a girthy.
I will let Ricky's words speak for themselves.
I'm a little bummed I'm not in the finals. I'm going to say it. Considering my nickname from back in the day.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
I don't remember doing the measure, but I'm glad I did well.
You don't remember your willy being 1.5-fold?
And the British counselors. The British counselors came back rather impressed, I must say.
Oh, there you go, man. They're going back to Britain telling some stories.
Had I had the foreskin of an uncircumcised penis,
now.
Who knows?
Set the camp record. Who knows
what could have happened for
those
guys.
The camp record.
You know, that was a little spooky, though, the uncircumcised penis.
It was.
You know?
I thought that's where you were going when you said the British came in and we're talking about penises.
Because that's where you always go. It's like, what the fuck is that?
This is a circumcision story.
Well, I remember we had an Italian counselor who was circumcised, which was quite the surprise. Mario Batali.
Mario Batali?
Not the Mario Batali.
You
not
couldn't
the
see
chef,
his.
Not the chef, but Mario Ranger Year. But there was a British counselor, and I remember that the first time we as Jewish kids saw an uncircumcised penis.
Yeah, yeah. It's freaky.
It was, it's a little different. And I think it may have been, I don't want to get the name wrong for something as important as that.
Please.
One of the kids in my bunk looked and said, "You look like an anteater."
Fair enough.
You know, not a bad observation. I can go with that.
Yeah, it makes sense to me.
All right,
let's go back to that break now.
Okay. All right. Now that we've got the info we desperately needed.
We'll be back.
All right, I have a question I want to ask Ricky. What is the don't stop believing? Because I love that, and I always feel like it pertains specifically to Swago, but I'm not quite sure.
It does indeed, and I'm happy to say I've seen Journey 3 times starting 2009. I just saw them last week with Steve Miller Band. Don't Stop Believing, I believe, came out as a song in 81 or 82, but what I consider my last year at camp, 83, when Peter Geller and I split the Ranger group leadership, we had the group song night.
Goodbye.
And we had to have an alma mater. We had to have a march. We had to have a fight song. Our fight song was Don't Stop Believing. And that, to me, was a culmination because I believe I left 2 or 3 days after that song night. And that stuck with me. And I thought that it was very powerful to hear the words, Don't Stop Believing, hold on to that feeling. To me, that summarized camp.
Represented, right, yeah.
I loved camp, and each year that I left, I couldn't wait to go back again.
So
I would hold that camp feeling, and now here it is 31 years later, and I still hold on to that camp feeling.
Well, it's amazing how
did you ask about that, though? What was the...
Because he greets people with that, or he signs off as a salutation
That used to be my closing. It would be in emails. It would say, don't stop
believing. All motivated from Swago.
All from Swago.
That's awesome.
And 31 years later. We didn't have email, obviously, back then.
Right, right.
Until Al Gore invented the internet.
Thank God.
Yeah, right.
That's good, man.
What were we just saying a second ago? What were we talking about just a minute ago? Just general?
We just came back.
Yeah. Talking about what camp meant and how run into camp. I know, we missed a good all over the place.
Yeah, we were having a good conversation.
I know. Well, it's amazing how it's still a community. Like, you can walk in here and it's like, it's Ricky.
Yeah.
It's like there's no time that's lost.
It's a
like,
little odd that we're not in the normal setting, but it's not that odd. I feel like
I think once you have become friends with someone at camp, and as you said earlier, Alan, you live with people. It's a summer. I mean, until you get to college, with whom else do you live besides your family?
And what constitutes a family
is
living together.
This is a family. To me, camp is part of my family.
I agree with you.
And to see someone that you haven't seen in a while, you can jump right back in. It's sort of seeing a cousin you haven't seen in 5 years or 10 years. So you don't have to wait for the
much
aunt,
more so to me.
The cousin to have a bar mitzvah. You're together.
Do you see anybody? Like, do you stay in touch with anyone that you
at
see?
At the hospital, I used to see quite a few people coming and going, and. one of the oddest things, and also one of the most rewarding, besides delivering a camper's kid, Jane Dorn, and this is before HIPAA, so I feel I can relate the information.
And
Jane
HIPAA is, just for our listeners who are
HIPAA is the health
insurance
portability and accountability act.
There you go.
Of course.
It protects
schmucks that don't know that.
It protects
all right?
patients' privacy.
Privacy, but right, the privacy.
Jane Dorn was opposite me in West Side Story. She was my Anita, and I was Bernardo.
Mm.
My ex-wife, who's an obstetrician also,
who delivered my
called
son.
Me one day from the sono suite and says, "You'll never guess on who I'm doing an amniocentesis." And I'm like, how many billion people could it be? Okay, we'll narrow it down to New York. I said, I don't know. She goes, Anita from West Side Story.
Maria,
I said, Jane is there? I go running straight up to see her. And actually, I had the pleasure of delivering Jane's second child.
There you go.
It's
look at Bernardo stepping in, delivering kids and shit. That's West Side Story part two.
Right? We should readapt this thing.
Right?
We certainly should.
Take the next level where Bernardo becomes an obstetrician and delivers the kids.
Bernardo didn't make it out of West Side Story,
that's
unfortunately.
True. You know what? He miraculously survives the gunshot wound. And now it's delivering
he comes
jets
back,
and
like
sharks.
Jack Bauer coming back.
There you go.
I have to say, like, as much as we joked about this before, because I was the lead in the play when I was, anything goes. I don't remember. We joked that I didn't fucking remember. I don't even know what the play was about. I just wanted to make sure I knew the lines.
Neither did the girls. We thought they would.
I don't even know what the plays everyone else was in were about. They were not that coherent.
No, West Side Story was coherent. Mm-hmm. I knew what West Side Story was.
I don't even know what you're talking about right
now. In Fiddler. West Side Story and Fiddler. After that, I was a little lost.
They were very
particularly on our
play.
They
were very makeshift. No offense, Lucille, but
Lucille, you have to give us the theme.
They needed to give you a bigger budget.
The classic Suego Suetona play was The Pirates of Penzance.
I don't remember that.
In the middle of the play, they ad-libbed, and Lucille closed the play. That was it. Marched them out. End of the play. Midway.
Well, that was 83, too, was Guys and Dolls. She did the same thing. There was an improv.
She had a very
strict rule. She closed the play down.
Is that maybe it was 83. Was that where Greg Zimmerman said, is that the fact, Jack?
Yeah.
So that was 83.
I think it was.
I stand corrected.
You know what? Let the kids improvise.
I know. Like,
seriously.
She shuts the play down.
Seriously.
Like, easy, babe.
Lighten up, Gestapo woman.
Yeah, she was tough.
Her reputation was well-deserved, apparently.
Although we said one of the awkward things about being a Suego camper was having to go to Suetona and then sing. Like, every camper somehow had to sing
you
to the piano.
You had to sing.
You had to
sing one of the,
right,
the,
get on
one
stage.
Of the main songs
right.
to
and
see
like,
how you
really?
Could project.
Here? I got to do this here? Like, can't we do it back at our social hall, which is where the play is?
Yeah, they take you out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, right? That's exactly it.
Stretch
yeah, you
out.
Perform under pressure.
I guess so.
Well, it's not perform, as you said. It's I won the leading role for one simple reason. My voice made it to the back of the social
right, it's
hall.
Projection.
Yes. It wasn't about
obviously
talent.
Getting a part like Bernardo meant I projected, I just didn't sing well.
You know?
Funny, my
I did
son,
enjoy it, though. I did enjoy it.
Right?
Play.
Fantastic
I have to
show.
Say I did.
That was my favorite.
Yeah.
If I could sit back now and watch the videotape of any of them.
Oh, no, I enjoyed doing
story.
The play.
Well, oh, you did. You enjoyed doing
you.
It.
You didn't enjoy me.
I was too
in
involved
the play
in
you
it.
You were in.
I was,
what
the,
I found
was
interesting
the reporter.
About the play is you take a guy like you, Howie.
Thank you.
The top people in the group. I mean, the guys that were recognized as the leaders of the group. And let's face it, you guys were two of the leaders in your group.
Thank you very much.
And
I don't know about me.
You know, the play could be a very embarrassing.
Howie didn't get a good part, just so you know, before you.
And I think I tried for a good part, too, and they were like, fuck you.
How many athletes are comfortable in a position with which they're not familiar?
Zac Efron. I mean,
so many of the professional athletes never make it to the broadcast booth, even though I'm sure many of them would like. It's a completely different environment. You're on the camera. Every word you say is being monitored. And yet we took all of these athletes, all of these kids, and you make them sing.
Yep.
Most of us were not raised to be singers. I mean, Howie, you're very musically inclined.
But I wasn't a singer back then.
Maybe not a singer. But you're taking people who are used to playing basketball, soccer, softball, whatever it was, and now you're having them sing. Yeah. And yet every kid sang.
I know. And without objection.
There was never an argument.
No,
we sang.
I know.
I think amazing. We just learned why some of these kids didn't come back that one year.
Right.
Andy Murphy was afraid to sing.
Yeah, he bowed out as a Ranger, though. So,
a little early. He was just getting out early.
No, it is amazing. Like, you took the lead of the play. Like, who would have thought Alan Pearl, who was, like, the biggest complainer. No offense. Was, like, the biggest complainer in our group as far
you.
As, like,
thank you very
you're
much.
Waking me up for Reveille. Like, you can't do this. Like, you know, he'd bitch and moan. But, like, accepted the fact that he was the lead in the play and sort of had to get it together and do his thing.
And I
but,
did. And,
and
I
then,
hit,
yeah,
I
and
hit every,
also, and then
every
got the
note.
And got the
I hit every word. I didn't mess up a word. I hit every spot on that floor.
Anything goes. Cole Porter, like to this day, says Alan is the
absolutely.
Best. What was your character's name? Do you even know? Public Enemy number one.
Everything goes, including
Billy,
the memories.
Billy Bathgate?
Billy Bad Baldwin.
Billy Baldwin?
No.
I think it's Billy Bathgate, no?
I don't know. I think he's from the
monkeys.
Billy Bathgate is like
there was a movie Billy Bathgate.
Yeah, like something in Chicago.
Right,
it's
a gangster
organized crime.
Yeah. I'm gonna Google this shit.
Right, it was something like that.
All right, we'll figure it out.
But you have Alan Pearlstein,
the
being the lead of a play, it
one
sets
and a half
tone,
girth
and
all
pulling up Cole Porter shit.
Everybody else in that group followed you, and they all acted in the play, and they probably did a great job.
We kicked ass.
Anything to the rumor that you're marrying him, Z. Brown?
That's his only
that was
line.
My only line.
Even
in
his line. So it was also one of those other times, like, you know how we said, I love doing the square dancing? It was also that other time where you got to spend
who'd you square
real
dance
time
with? Who'd you square dance with?
Whoever. Was there a person you were with? Or was
I can't, picture,
just
I can't picture you square dancing.
I thought you were just doing the dance with
they
everybody.
They did the
whoever,
dance. But
whoever came into the Alamo.
Whoever Alamo
did.
Yeah, they paired them, and we would work out that we could be near someone whom we had affections
for. Who was
for.
Your any great Swatona loves?
Well, when I was old enough to have a great Swatona love as a camper, we didn't do the square dancing
right.
that year
come
for whatever
like
77, reason.
77, 78, yeah. I think.
So we always managed to do it with the counselors. But over the years, I can name the girls that, to use Howie's, went out with.
Tell us. Who were they?
The first one was Robin Bernstein, and she was actually at the reunion. Oh. She was Dean the Dream, or Dean Magic Fingers Bernstein's
I'm not even going
sister.
There.
It's hard to compete with the man with the magic fingers, right?
Well, yeah. Luckily, he was the brother. And
in that case, you can't compete.
He was 2 years older than I, so I was sure I had to behave, or he would kick my ass dating his younger sister.
With his magic fingers and all.
Yes.
Let's see. briefly, Sharon Jacoby.
Don't know who she is.
Lisa Littman had a major crush on.
Oh, Lisa Littman.
She's listening. Lisa Littman.
Amy's sister.
That's right.
Did you know that Amy and Howie kissed?
I found that out much later. You know,
so did I.
And Lisa was actually in my school district, so I thought, hey, we go out, we can go back to school and continue to date, but she had other ideas. Then
she was pretty, Lisa.
Lisa
yeah. All the Littman girls were very pretty.
Yes.
Jody Wolfe.
Was that related to Mark Wolf's?
No, related to Scott Wolf.
Scott Wolf, I mean, right.
Scott Wolf's younger sister. She was actually one of the reasons, besides that my sister started Swatone in 77 and was there in 78. Jody Wolf was my sister Jill's counselor in 78. And when I went up for visiting day to see my sister, Jody and I had been campers together. And we started chatting. And she said, you know, if you come back to camp, I'll make it worth your while. And that's all I needed. Goodbye, Cytogenetics Lab. Hello, Swatona Hill.
I heard the words I wanted to hear.
Wow, that's pretty aggressive.
And then after that,
you got to like that.
You got a lot of women.
I know. Look at me. No, it's coming up at 13.
One
named like
10,
six, 10 seven
years.
Yeah, I know. But
still, though, man,
I couldn't rattle off that many. Three or four, two or three, you know, names.
Yeah, we won't even get to the British counselors.
When you were a counselor, you
had
a
counselor group. I went to visit them in England.
Uh-oh. Really?
Look, yeah. So, Gail, if you're listening out there,
oh, Gail.
Ramsey.
Gail Ramsey.
Gail McCallaghan.
From where?
Gail was from Tyne and Wear in
Sunderland.
Oh, I know. Up in mining country. Went to visit her.
How did that go?
Quite well, thank you.
Did it.
Nice.
The English council, the English girls' councils were a little intimidating.
The last
though.
One was Cheryl Wellman in 83. I dated her seriously for whatever dating seriously for the summer is, but by the time it was in 83, it was serious, the dating.
All right.
Really? She was from Surrey, yes.
Another English
what
girl.
What do you mean by seriously? You like every night having a serious relationship?
Pretty much. I mean, they were counselors. They could come out just about every night,
right,
except when they
yeah.
were on call. I was a group leader then, so I had no curfew. I established curfew, but when I was the what they call it, the AOD, the counselor on call, the group leader, whatever it was, the OD.
Yeah.
I made sure my shift included walking to Swatona to see if any campers were there.
Wow.
So
I had an 83. Swatona girlfriend too, but
yes,
it wasn't. It was.
Did.
I would not call it serious,
Margie.
I would not call it serious.
I would not call it
when
serious.
When she faked passing out during milk, and we tried to give her milk to reawaken her.
That was funny.
She like we think like she pretended to faint. Right? Do you remember this at all?
I do. I just don't know what motivated her.
I don't know what motivated her either. But she passed out either really or artificially. And it was during milk and
took
cookies.
Her breath away.
It was during milk and cookies call. So all we had to offer her was milk. So it's
that's refreshing. As a doctor, is that a good strategy?
Give it to me.
Depends why she was passing out. If she's passing out because her blood sugar is very low, she took too much insulin, she's diabetic, not a bad thing.
Okay.
If her blood sugar is already high, probably not a good thing. But since you probably didn't walk around with
a blood sugar ometer.
If her blood sugar is low, not a bad thing. If her blood sugar is high, probably not a good thing.
She made it through.
Listen. I just figured liquids. Yeah. I figured fluids.
Yeah, fluids. If that's the only liquid you have, and you just want to make sure they're awake when you're putting the fluids in their mouth.
I do.
Choke.
I wasn't, you know.
The only real negative is she was lactose intolerant.
You know, made for a sorry evening, I got to say.
Disgusted.
really put a damper on things later
really
on that night.
Passed out or not.
That's funny. Margie.
Margie.
That's a good story.
All right.
All right, man. What do you think?
Let's wrap.
I think we should wrap it up,
Ricky.
Love
you, Rem. You're the best.
This has been awesome.
I appreciate the invitation. This was amazing.
You're welcome back anytime.
It's not even Throwback Thursday, but this was awesome.
Yeah, it was great.
It's better than that.
Hope you guys invite me back again.
Everybody's welcome. Every single guest we've had is welcome back, please, numerous times.
And this is not, like, so we said we love doing this because, to us, everyone that we loved at Swago is a celebrity. Bring them. We want you. Anyone who wants to come on to this show from Swago Smetona, come as much as you want to come on. We love doing this. It's like we were hanging out, just chatting and bullshitting on a Thursday night. We're like, why don't we just do this podcast and just have people come on? And it's this has been awesome for Howie and I. And
it's been a great year. Like, we've had awesome so many people on well, already. And, yeah. It's great. It's a great part
agree,
of our life.
Camp, at least for me, was indeed the best part of my life. With apologies to my kids. And,
Right. And the main part of camp was the connection with the people that were there. Exactly. So we can recreate that in this environment.
That's what made camp camp.
Yep. You know, exactly.
It wasn't the basketball court.
No.
And it wasn't this couch. And podcast setup either.
All right,
man, great to have you here.
Okay, don't stop believing.
Don't stop believing ever.
Beautiful.
All right, peace.